Good morning. Please remain seated as we join together in our hymn of preparation as printed in your bulletins. Good morning and welcome to Main Street United Methodist Church this morning, and happy Father's Day to all of you fathers out there who sometimes get forgotten, but happy Father's Day to all of you. We want to welcome each of you, and especially those that are visiting with us this morning. If you are a visitor and you're looking for a church home, we hope that you will consider Main Street. And as the attendance pads are passed down the pew, if you would sign those attendance pads, give us your address and phone number. That way we can have someone contact you and let you know what's going on in the life of the church. So now, if you would pass those pads, and members and visitors alike, please register your attendance. From our decorations up here, you can see that Vacation Bible School begins tomorrow. Kids, don't forget Vacation Bible School in the morning. Remember to wear orange tomorrow. Tomorrow is Orange Day, so wear orange for Vacation Bible School in the morning. Because of Vacation Bible School this week, we will not have family night this week, nor will we have summer movies. Those will resume next week after Vacation Bible School is over. Youth are reminded that Wednesday of this week will be wild and crazy water games, so please wear your bathing suits Wednesday night for your program at 6 o'clock this Wednesday. Also, there will be a women's summer Bible study that will begin. Classes will run July the 9th through August 13th. An organizational meeting will be held on Wednesday, June 25th at 6:30. If you are interested in that, please contact the church office and let them know, or contact Kelly Mullinax at home and let her know that. And I think that's all of the announcements for this morning. Let us now prepare our hearts for worship.
Thank you. The Lord bore you on eagle's wings to enter the covenant with you. Now, therefore, if you obey the Lord and keep the covenant, you shall be the Lord's own possession among all peoples. The Lord bore you on eagle's wings to establish a colony of heaven on earth. Now, therefore, if you will obey the Lord and keep the covenant, you shall be the Lord's ambassadors to all people. All people, Lord, we will do.
Seated and join me in our invocation as found in your bulletin. O God, the parent of our Lord Jesus Christ and our parent, you are to us both father and mother. We who are your children draw around your feet to worship you. Your compassion is as the fragrance of the rose. Though you are enthroned in the heavens, we may draw near you. For your feet stand upon the earth where we humans dwell. We see your compassion in Jesus. Teach us that we belong to you and that you alone belong to us. And you are enough. Amen. Now let us greet one another in the peace and the love and the forgiveness of Christ. Let us pass the peace.
Old Testament reading this morning comes from Genesis, the 18th chapter, verses 1 through 15. It's on page 17 in your pew Bible. The Lord appeared to Abraham by the oaks of Mamre as he sat at the entrance of his tent in the heat of the day. He looked up and saw three men standing near him. When he saw them, he ran from the tent entrance to meet them and bowed down to the ground. He said, "My Lord, if I find favor with you, do not pass by your servant. Let a little water be brought and wash your feet and rest yourself under the tree. Let me bring a little bread that you may refresh yourselves, and after that you may pass on, since you have come to your servant." So they said, "Do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent to Sarah and said, "Make ready quickly 3 measures of choice flour. Knead it and make cakes." Abraham ran to the herd and took a calf, tender and good, and gave it to the servant who hastened to prepare it. Then he took curds and milk and the calf that he had prepared and set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree while they ate. They said to him, "Where's your wife Sarah?" And he said, "There in the tent." Then one said, "I will surely return to you in due season, and your wife Sarah shall have a son." And Sarah was listening at the tent entrance behind him. Now Abraham and Sarah were old, advanced in age. It had ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. So Sarah laughed to herself, saying, "After I have grown old and my husband is old, shall I have pleasure?" The Lord said to Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh and say, 'Shall I indeed bear a child now that I am old?' Is anything too wonderful for the Lord? At the set time I will return to you in due season, and Sarah shall have a son." But Sarah denied, saying, "I did not laugh," for she was afraid. He said, "Oh yes, you did laugh." This is a word of the Lord. The epistle reading comes from Romans, the 5th chapter, verses 1 through 8. Again, this is on page 188 in your pew Bible. "Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." This is a word of the Lord.
Oh, shall I render to my God?
are invited to the altar rail at this time if you wish and if you find that meaningful to come forward to pray so that you might be here kneeling during the time of silent prayer in the midst of the pastoral prayer. As I read forth our concerns and share them with you, if you'd like to come forward, please do. Longtime member Virginia Whitmire did pass away, and her visitation is this afternoon. Albert Gambrell is continuing to receive treatments and needs to be in our prayers as well as live. Camille Wolfe is in the National Health Care Facility. Anna Lecter Stockman is still in CCU and is in serious condition. Joyce Nichols is recovering from surgery but at home. Ken Flincham in Hospice House. Lindsay Lawrence and her new baby son were in the hospital for a few days with complications, but all is well now and she is home. Kit Atkins' mother is in the hospital. John Lumley's mother is in the hospital. And Mary Grace Mullenix will have a procedure tomorrow morning. Now let us go together to God in prayer. Holy Father, living Lord, guiding Spirit, in the Psalms it is written that you are a father to the fatherless, a defender of widows, that you, God, set the lonely in families. As a family in Christ here at Main Street, we remember our fathers on this day for the good they gave us. We give our thanks and praise. For the faith they shared and teaching right from wrong, we give our thanks and praise. For the protective boundaries they set around us and for preparing us to be mature men and women, we give you thanks and praise. And for the mistakes and misdeeds of our fathers, we pray the power and grace to forgive and love anyway. And for those of us who have lost our fathers to death, we pray comfort and overcoming grief, and grace to cover any regrets. Lord, above and beyond our best and our worst memories, you are Abba, Daddy, Father to us. You loved us before we loved you back. You came to us in Jesus Christ at great cost. You did not turn away and forsake us even when we turned away from you. No earthly father can measure up. But Lord, give grace to the fathers who are here to try to echo your love and to care in the smaller ways which we can. And now, Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts as we lift them before you in a moment of silence. Lord, hear our prayers, for we pray in the name of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and we pray as he taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Now let us continue our worship through the giving of our tithes, our offerings, our special gifts.
Creator God, the earth is yours and the fullness thereof. We do thank you for entrusting unto us enough resources to meet our needs and for every good cause. We pray your blessings upon these tithes, these returns unto your church. Bless them to continue the ministry of your Son, Jesus Christ, and to build your kingdom. Amen.
I'd like to invite the children forward now for the children's message with Susan Peen.
Good morning, boys and girls. I'm going to need your help today. Our children's time is about a mystery person, and I'm going to give you some clues, and I hope you'll be able to figure out who I'm talking about. But I need six big people, tall people, to come up and stand in a straight line up here, and I'm going to give you a card. So let's see. I'm looking for the tallest people. Let's see. Skylar, okay. You come on up. Okay, let's see. That's three. I need you come on up. Four. Would you come up, Bet? Five. And one more. Kathy, pick one more. Everybody else is kind of short, so you out there in the congregation will have to look really hard. But I'm going to give each of you a card. I don't want you to look at it. I want you to hold it down so we can't see. And when I ask you, when I call for your letter, I want you to lift your card, okay? Okay, I'm going to need everybody else's help, too, if I can get over here out of the way. I have a little boy holding onto my skirt. Okay, now, I'm going to call out a letter, and I want you all to repeat the letter. Those of you that are sitting, that's how you're going to help me, okay? It's going to be kind of like a cheer. Give me an F. Boys and girls, you need to say F. F. Give me an F.
F.
Okay. All right, there's our F. F is for forgiving. Even when we disobey or do something wrong, this person is willing to forgive us. Give me an A. A. Okay, A is for attentive. When we need someone to talk to, this person is willing to listen to what we have to say. Okay, give me a T. Okay, T is for teacher. This person teaches us the most important lessons of our life. He teaches us right from wrong. He teaches us by example how to love one another. Give me an H. H. H is for helpful. This person helps us to make the important decisions we face each day. He may offer advice, or he may just be a good listener, but he is always there to help us. Give me an E. E. E is for energetic. No matter how tired he is, this person always seems to find the energy to do things with us and for us. Give me an R. R. R is ready, for ready. This person is always ready to reach out in love to us. He is ready to do whatever we need. Who is our mystery person? Somebody, nobody out here is big enough. Okay, what is it? Father, that's right. Our mystery person is Father. And you know, today is Father's Day, a day that you show your love and your appreciation to your daddy. And I want you to remember, though, that we have another Father. We have a Heavenly Father. And our Heavenly Father is the perfect role model for your daddies. He shows your daddies how they need to be a father to you. And I hope today you have a wonderful and a happy Father's Day as you celebrate with your daddies. Let's have a prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for Father's Day, and we thank you for all of the fathers represented here today. Please be with us and help us also, Lord, to show our love to our Heavenly Father and thank Him every day for His love for us. Amen.
Lesson is from the Gospel of Matthew, the 9th chapter, verse 35, beginning with verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, curing every disease and every sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion for them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Therefore, ask the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest." Then Jesus summoned his 12 disciples and gave them authority over unclean spirits to cast them out and to cure every disease and every sickness. These are the names of the 12 apostles. First, Simon, also known as Peter, and his brother Andrew, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John, Philip and Bartholomew, Thomas and Matthew, the tax collector, James, son of Alphaeus and Thaddeus, Simon the Canaan, and Judas Iscariot, the one who betrayed him. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions: Go nowhere among the Gentiles and enter no town of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. As you go, proclaim the good news. The kingdom of heaven has come near. Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, cast out demons. You received without payment, give without payment. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Before the sermon, I have just a couple of things I should have said earlier. One is the golden roses to my left are in honor of the 50th wedding anniversary of Lewis and Georgia Sherrod, given by their children. And another is I forgot to mention to pray for our mission team now in South America, in Belize, one of whom is my wife. I should have... So Caroline Dennis, Karen Dent, Lee Robards, Steve Skinner, and John Williams are our contingent of that team. Others from St. Mark and other churches also are there. And this is not Belize, the area where the tourists go. This is Belize back way up in the woods and also hit just a week ago by a horrible storm. So the roads they once had to hike in on, now they may be boating in on. It's something that we should be in constant prayer for. And another announcement, it is Father's Day today, and I had intended to do the 3 o'clock bicycle ride, which is really Caroline's thing, and she's way out of town. So, and I've decided it's Father's Day, I'm going to give myself the day off. I'm not going to do the bicycle ride at 3 o'clock. You may ride if you wish. It's a public bicycle trail, but I won't be there. So that's okay. I think those are all the things I omitted earlier. And well, unless you have wondered what this is about, Vacation Bible School starts in the morning. Let us pray. Holy Father, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of every heart be acceptable unto you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I struggle on a day like this, Father's Day, which is not really in the liturgical calendar, not really in the lectionary, and sort of blending that message and this day with the text. And I think I'm probably going to short-circuit Father's Day and short-circuit the text, but still have a message on doing what is difficult. Toward the end of my father's life, he said a haunting thing. I'm not sure he was in the hospice bed in Spartanburg, whether he was saying it to me or whether he was just saying it out loud. He was looking up at the ceiling, and he said, I thought there would be more time. I thought there'd be more time. But what do you do with time? I started thinking, if you stay the same and you stay where you are and do nothing new or nothing risky, I believe you are wasting time. Time is that precious period between the beginning and the end where you have the opportunity to grow and to change. And if you don't, then you are wasting time. If you don't grow and change inside yourself and change at least some of the things which you can change out in the world, then what was your life for? I love the sort of confused wisdom of Yogi Berra, and I have to explain that that's not Yogi Berra the cartoon figure, that's Yogi Berra the baseball guy. And he said once, when you come to a fork in the road, take it. That's the thing. Yeah, which fork? That's the rub. Robert Frost, in a much more poetic way, said the same thing. He said, "I shall be telling this with a sigh somewhere ages and ages hence. Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that has made all the difference." A path chosen makes a difference the rest of your life. Today's scripture finds Jesus saying, "Go and proclaim the kingdom of God." And if you read the rest of that chapter, "Take no money. You will be rejected in some places. You will be brought up on charges in some places. You may even be turned into the authorities by friends and family for following me. Follow me anyway. Endure to the end." The tone is the same as the one single verse found in the middle of the eighth chapter of Mark, where Jesus says simply, "If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me." And that reminds me of another of my father's sayings. He said, "Anything worthwhile will be difficult." It's a simple law of physics that on this earth with our gravitational field, the only possible destination, if you always take the path of least resistance, keep taking the path of least resistance, the only place you can end up is at the bottom of the hill. And maybe that is why Scripture refers to the journey of faith as an upward climb. And so many of the mountains in Scripture are considered holy places, and Jesus very often would go up on the mountain to pray, or on the Mount of Transfiguration to reveal who he was. The path through this world of most resistance, most determination and focus, is the upward path toward God. Life is a journey, and you must choose your path. Stand at the crossroads and just stand there and you'll go nowhere. Make no decision, and that in itself is a decision to go nowhere, to waste your time on earth. Life is a journey. And I suppose I should say, even as a preacher, this sounds odd, but it is true. God is optional. You may choose paths unbidden by Christ. You may go many, many places without a cross. You may not deny yourself. You may rejoice in every whim and every wandering desire you have. But where in the journey of life will that path take you? Jesus spoke of a wide, easy way that leads to destruction, and then he also spoke of a narrow, hard way that leads up to life. The destination of destruction is made up, I believe, of a series of easy, coasting, downhill choices. If I am doing my job on every Sunday, one way or another, you should hear me say, "Choose God." Which way is that? Follow Jesus. And where would Jesus go? Out among the people, offering forgiveness, compassion, love, and grace. And you could ask yourself, "I do. Won't that cost me something?" You bet. You bet. And Jessica this morning talked of getting outside our comfort zone, and then she made me hold hands with Dr. Baker and Rudy for probably 5 minutes. I was way outside my comfort zone. My hands got sweaty. But that was after I just preached this sermon, so what could I do? Love and faith always involves doing what cost, I think, what cost the most at every turn. Taking the upward narrow road instead of coasting by and pretending and refusing to get involved. If we witness, if we're involved in missions, if we're involved with people, if we're involved in the budget and supporting the programs of the church. In all these ways, faithfulness cost us. It cost us, in the old preacher language, time and talents and treasure. It will cost us emotionally as well. Life continually confronts us with choices. Every day we come to different forks in our path and we have to make a choice. I remember years ago I heard the wisdom of an older pastor, and he was talking about from time to time we have to vote pastors out of the conference for indiscretions and breaking their marriage vows. And he said, He was talking about one in this closed ministerial session. He said, he made a decision the very first time he had a lunch alone with her and did not tell his wife. Even though that happened years before the actual final blow. We make little decisions every day that set a trajectory for our life. And we think sometimes if there's a good and costly decision that that's a path we won't take today, but we'll come back and we'll take it later. If we're honest about it, we know that we hardly ever do. Maybe you intend to get up and get out and do your faith in a more real way and go back to that old choice that you bypassed, but you may find yourself in bed and old and weak and saying to the ceiling, I thought there would be more time. Yogi Berra aside, you cannot travel two roads at once. Every one of us faces choices, not just superficial, but genuinely significant choices. And we can choose, and sometimes we have to choose before all the evidence is in. And so we must pray to God, give me help, give me guidance, give me wisdom. I really don't know. And sometimes we don't. In another place, Jesus said, you can gain the whole world following your will, but you may lose your soul. Because the path to God does not really involve the signpost of our will at every turn. The path to God lies only in the direction of the harvest out there, of announcing the kingdom come out there, of having no shame in the cross of Christ out there, where people will reject you if you publicly choose to follow Him. The gift of God's love is absolutely free, but just as it cost God the cross to love us, it will cost us in this life to follow Him. Let me tell you about the life and death of a German Christian. I know many of you know the name Dietrich Bonhoeffer. He was well known as a Christian preacher and a teacher, and he could have easily left Hitler's Germany in World War II for safety, but he chose to stay. In April the 5th, 1943, the Gestapo arrested him. He was tossed into prison. Just a few days before that prison camp, Flossenbürg, was liberated by the Allies. It was liberated on April the 9th, and he was arrested on April the 5th. But just a few days before the liberation, Bonhoeffer was executed. And you need to know that history, that background, so that you'll know that his words do not come cheap. He chose the hard, upward, narrow way, the road of faith, even unto death. This man, this hero of the faith, wrote the following. He said, cheap grace is preaching the preaching of forgiveness without requiring repentance. Baptism without church discipline. Communion without confession. Cheap grace is grace without discipleship, grace without the cross, grace without Jesus Christ, living and incarnate. Our gospel says that we are to proclaim that the kingdom of God has come near. Do you remember that elsewhere Jesus spoke of the kingdom of God as always involving costly choices? One writer wrote the following. He said, the kingdom of God is like a treasure hidden in the field. For the sake of it, a man will gladly sell all that he has. It is the pearl of great price to buy which the merchant will sell all his goods. It is the kingly rule of Christ for whose sake a man will pluck out or cut off whatever causes him to stumble. It is the call of Jesus at which the disciple leaves his nets and follows him. Costly grace is the gospel which must be sought again and again, the gift which must be asked for, the door at which a man must knock. Such grace is costly because it calls us to follow. It is costly because it cost us our lives, and it is grace. It is grace because it gives us true life. I like the saying, even if you travel in the very best circles, you are still traveling in a circle, going nowhere. The journey and the destination, that's the thing. Not the circle you travel in. And some people forget that life has a destination and is not just, as one lady told me a couple of years ago, she said, life is not just one long process of getting tired. I like that. Although it does seem that way sometimes. Some of us wrap ourselves in a particular style or wrap around us particular people, our certain cars, our celebrities, our sports teams, and those are our choices. And we identify with them. And we plan our lives or maybe our vacations or our reading or follow the events of our role models and lift them high and defend their honor. But don't you talk about my team. Or don't you put down my favorite actor or actress or I wouldn't be caught dead wearing less than. And I was going to put some famous designers' names in here, but I don't know who they are. Gucci, Armani, are those still? I don't know. I just wear this black thing, so. You can travel in the best of circles and go nowhere in the end. And some people reduce faith to fate, and I don't like this. I don't think this is proper at all. I've heard people who don't believe they have even the slightest control over their own journey of faith. They think that they have very little to say about what happens. They believe that either God or fate controls their lives. And it's not just God knocking at the door, but that God is knocking at the door, breaking down the door, and handcuffing us and dragging us the way God wants us to go. I don't read Scripture that way. Life, some people will say, just happens and personal freedom is an illusion. If you believe that, I have to say I don't. I believe that faith involves choices and following and sometimes working things out with fear and trembling, always, always depending upon God for strength and for guidance and for wisdom. But our time and our choices are not meaningless. There are forks in the road up ahead every day, and we choose which way. But some folks talk about their lives like they're riding an escalator and they can't get off. Well, folks, we choose our escalators, and we do see what's slowly coming up ahead, and we watch these things happen. We see what comes next, and then occasionally we have the audacity to pray, God, why did you let this happen to me? Is freedom an illusion? I don't think so. How would a righteous God judge unless we can freely choose? It is obviously true that there are some things over which we have no control, and they may affect our journey. We do not choose when we are born. We do not choose where we are born. We do not choose the color of our skin or the color of our eyes. And that is why it is absurd to hate people because of their skin color. It's absurd to hate blacks or yellows or whites or redheaded people with freckles. No one asked for these. And on the other hand, it's absurd to lift high these traits as the greatest good in your life, such as I'm proud of being white or I'm proud of being black or whatever. Proud of what? You weren't given a choice. And no matter what race or other thing, for all of us, time runs out. And as our time runs out, the limitations on our lives pile up. It's always time to choose which way. It is choices that matter. And if we cannot find a higher thing to live for than the accident of our birth, then we are sad indeed. You're traveling in a very small circle if the best thing you've ever done is be born in a particular family or a particular nation or a particular race. The kingdom of God has come near. The Scripture says that harvest time is now. We are to go and we are to tell and witness and face rejection if it comes, and Jesus says it will. To trust God above all else. It will not be easy, but it will be real and it will make a difference. It will not be easy, but it will be real and make a difference. The principle that I'd like you to ponder as you leave today is one that I lay out, and one I think is worth considering. Doing what is difficult at every turn, praying to God for guidance, that is faith. I believe that is the best definition of faith. Amen. Thank you. We do welcome new members today, Reverend C.J. Lupo, who your former pastor, who is transferring his charge conference membership, and we hereby recognize it today, and his wife, Vera, who will be transferring as a member today as well. We welcome them, and we do wish you all a happy Father's Day. I know you did not get breakfast in bed. That doesn't happen on Father's Day. I hope you get something today. Receive this blessing. The blessing of the knowledge of the full love of God the Father, the grace and forgiveness which is yours through Jesus Christ your Savior, and the wisdom, the courage, and the direction of the Holy Spirit even in this moment. You have been blessed. Now be a blessing to others in Jesus' name. Amen.